I'm going to invite you to turn with me to an Old Testament passage, to 1 Chronicles, to the 29th chapter, beginning at the 10th verse. This is a prayer of King David. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." So today is Thanksgiving Day. May you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Truth is, most of us look forward to this day. Thanksgiving is a day that people gather with their immediate and their extended family. And according to statistics that I have heard, over almost 90 million people are going to travel over 50 miles to gather with their family and with their friends for Thanksgiving dinner. Traditionally, that dinner involves turkey and stuffing, mashed potatoes and gravy, a myriad of vegetables, including squash, sweet potatoes, and the green bean casserole, along with a traditional cranberry sauce and homemade rolls and pumpkin pie. Today, the average American is going to consume over 4,500 calories. Then there's the football game. And the Lions are playing the Packers, so it actually has some meaning. There is the proverbial nap and the plotting of our strategy to get the most out of our dollar tomorrow on Black Friday. People look forward to this gathering and to this celebration all year long. But for millions of Americans, 2025 has been brutal. Millions are still recovering from the longest and the most contentious, polarizing government shutdown in our nation's history. Over a month, they didn't get paid. Many of the 40 million Americans on SNAP are concerned that their benefits are going to get cut, and those who receive health care insurance subsidies have been informed that their premiums will double, triple, or maybe quadruple. The impact of several years of inflation has left people either paying more for their groceries or buying less food. People are eating out less, which means that those in the restaurant business have had their hours cut or maybe even lost their job. We were blessed here at Georgetown to be able to hand out over 170 Thanksgiving dinners. But that's the most ever. Most profoundly, there will be empty chairs at our tables today. We have spouses and parents who have died. There are broken relationships and political differences which will keep people from coming together today. And people are struggling with cancer and heart issues, Parkinson's, and memory loss, and they find it increasingly necessary to stay home because it's more difficult to travel, and this weather isn't helping. Many will pause today and wonder what they have to be thankful for. The economy is holding its own. Stock market is even up just a bit. Teen smoking is down. Teen births are dropping. People are living longer, eating healthier, and exercising more. All good stuff. But hardly worth a national holiday. About 3,000 years ago, King David was getting to the end of his life, and he knew it. Life was getting more and more difficult simply to get out of bed, simply to do the daily things that he took for granted for all of his years. And he knew he was going to die. In his year, he allows us to put this year into perspective. He writes, he sings, he celebrates. Blessed are you, God of Israel. Our Father from of old and forever, to you, O God, belong the greatness and might, the glory, the victory, the majesty, the splendor. Yes! Everything in heaven, everything on earth, the kingdom is all yours. Riches and glory comes from you. You are the ruler over all. You hold strength and power in the palm of your hand to build up and to strengthen all. And here we are, O God, our God, giving our thanks to you. Everything you and I have comes from God. Everything you and I have still belongs to God. It's just on loan to us. And everything, every gift that you and I have ever been given deserves a thank you. Steve Brown tells of a friend who knew all of the arguments yet adamantly opposed all notion of a God. And then his son was born. And he was so overwhelmed by this amazing gift that it prompted Steve to say to him, "Who are you going to thank?" And he became a Christian. Giving thanks begins when you and I realize that everything we have comes from and still belongs to God. So all thanks is first and foremost to be directed to him. For without him, there is no reason for us to gather this morning. There is no reason to have a day called Thanksgiving. There is no reason to say thank you. It's true. Giving thanks today will be easier for some than for others. But as I paused in my study this week, there are at least four reasons that I know of, and you can add to the list, that we can always be thankful, as we have said this morning, regardless of what the circumstances might be. And the first thing on that particular list is that we should always be thankful to God for his grace, for his grace. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 in the 8th verse, "You have been saved by grace through faith. You did not save yourselves. It is the gift of God." You see, grace is everything that God does for us that you and I don't deserve, which is pretty much everything. We deserve judgment. I mean, we have messed up, but God in his grace withholds that full judgment from us. Everything God does in us and through us and for us and to us goes through the fingers of his gracious hand. Everything. We can't earn it. We can't contribute to it. It is a free gift. There are no strings attached. In Psalm 103, the psalmist writes, "I will not forget the gracious things God does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. He is tender to those who don't deserve it. He is slow to anger. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us as our sins deserve." These are all things that you and I can be thankful for, even in the toughest of times. If knowing this your heart doesn't just begin to explode in gratitude, then the truth is you don't really understand what grace is all about. Or perhaps you don't understand our current or previous condition before grace. That is what our life and our destiny was without God's intervention. Let me summarize it. Life without grace has no meaning. It has no purpose. It has no hope for the future. Life without grace is full of guilt. It is full of fear, bitterness, worry, and regrets. And without grace, there's nothing you and I can do to change that. Nothing. So today and every day, you and I can be thankful for the grace that God gives and the grace that God has shown to each one of us. Second, we should always be thankful that God has a plan for us. This life, your life, my life, is no accident. We were made for a reason, and that is to fulfill God's purpose and God's mission. Without trying to sound simplistic or a bit corny, God has a plan for your life. Our parents may not have planned us, but God certainly did. If you're alive, if you're breathing, if you have a pulse, we'll pause a minute, you can check. God is still working out his plan in your life. He still has you here, alive and breathing for a purpose, for a mission. The prophet Jeremiah writes, "I have good plans for you, says the Lord. I don't plan to hurt you. In fact, I plan to give you hope and a great future." God's plan takes into account our mistakes, our faults, our failures, and the other things people do to hurt us, and he weaves good things out of them. Now understand, God's plan for our life doesn't mean that all parts of life are going to be easy or smooth or comfortable. You see, because of sin, no life is pain-free or disappointment-free. God says his plan to transform us will come and involve some hardship, some discipline, some pain even. But here's the thing you and I can be faithful for. Our God is in the business of turning tragedies into triumph. He did it with Joseph, with Moses, with David, even with his son Jesus on the cross. Even in adverse times, God is still in control, still sitting on the throne, still working in our lives, forming, transforming us from uncut rocks to diamonds. Today and every day, you and I can be grateful that God is working out his plan in our life. Third, we can be thankful for the eternal home that God is preparing for us. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "We know that our body will be destroyed. But when that happens, God will have a house for us. It will not be a house made with human hands. Instead, this will be a home in heaven that will last forever." God created us to last forever. Not just for a few decades here on this earth. And one day, our body, as you and I know it today, will die. But that will not be the end because we have a soul, an eternal soul. And Scripture says that we will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell, depending on whether or not we have embraced the grace of God through Jesus Christ because of what he did for us with his sacrifice and resurrection. So as followers of Jesus, you and I do not have to fear the future. We know where we're going. In fact, we can't really live until we know we are prepared to die. And once we know that our death and our eternity have been taken care of, then we can, in this life, already begin to enjoy real life. to go through life totally ignoring what we know will happen is foolish. But we don't have to be afraid if we believe in Jesus, because he's making a place for us in heaven to live with him forever. So what's heaven like? Scripture tells us four things about heaven that excite me and give me pause to be thankful. We will be released, the Bible says. Released from pain and fear and depression and sorrow and tears and conflict and stress. There will be no tears in heaven. We will be reunited. We will be reunited with our loved ones, those who are part of the family and have followed Jesus. We will be rewarded. We will be rewarded for our faith, our service, our obedience, and our faithfulness in praying, in serving, in giving, and in witnessing. But most of all, we will be rejoicing. In the new heaven and the new earth, we will find infinite ways and opportunities to praise God. It will be, if you will, an eternity of thanksgivings every single day. Peter says in his epistle, God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay. And God in his mighty power will make sure that you get there safely to receive it, because you're trusting him as the only true God. We can be grateful today and every day, because the best is yet to come. And fourth, we should always be thankful for the changes God is making in us. God is making changes in us, in our lives, that you and I would never, could never be able to do on our own. The Bible says, God looked at me and said, I see that lump of clay, you know? I can work with that. And while others might tend to write us off, God says, you are valuable. You are significant. Now, it's true I'm going to make some changes, because I want to make you more and more like my son, like Jesus. And by the way, I'm going to use you to build my kingdom. God loves us the way we are, and he loves us so much that he wants us to be more and more like Jesus. Paul notes in Philippians that God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him. Now, many of those changes are subtle. Some can be painful, but all are making us into the person God created us to be. We often forget that God is at work in us. But being thankful every day and pausing to count our blessings reminds us that he's at work in us. And the more we remember, the more we'll be like him. Paul writes, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. That's why God takes his work in us personally. Georgetown Church is called to be in the life-changing business because Jesus is in the life-changing business. No person and no program can transform lives. Only Jesus can. And Jesus does. He puts marriages and families back together. He deepens our relationships with him and with others. He forgives us and calls us to forgive one another. He offers us strength in the middle of our adversity. He provides physical and emotional and often eternal healing. God is in the process of making us more and more like Jesus. And we can be grateful to God for that today and every day. Four things to be thankful for. Let me also share with you four ways that we can be thankful. First, by praising. Sing out your thanks to him, the psalmist says. Sing praises to God. The Bible calls us to sing our thanks to God. Can't sing? Can't play an instrument? Not a problem. You know what the scripture says? It says, make a joyful noise. Rick Warren says, it's okay if you're a prison singer. Always behind a few bars, never have the right key. John Wesley says, sing lustily with good courage. Be aware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep, but instead lift up your voice with strength. Where can we sing to God? Right here, like this morning. Around your table, with the food on it or without it. In the shower, in your car. Find creative ways and opportunities to praise God. We praise God because He is worthy of our praise. And praising God is an integral part of our thanksgiving. Praise renews, it rejuvenates our spirits, even in fact, especially in adverse times. Second, by sharing. The prophet says, thank the Lord, praise His name. Tell the world of His wondrous love and how mighty He is. You see, every time you and I share our testimony, simply telling other people what God has done, we are giving thanks to God. We have the greatest news in all of the world. Jesus saves. And it keeps getting better and better because the world seems to be getting worse and worse. Everybody in this world needs Jesus. And you are an authority on how Jesus has worked in your life. If you don't tell your story, it won't get shared. And the world will have lost out. If God has done something in your life, if He has blessed you in any way, tell somebody about it. Thank Him. Tell somebody about it. Share your good news. Invite them to be a part of His family. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas get thrown into prison because they're talking about Jesus. And in that dark, dank dungeon, in the middle of the night, they start praising God, and a powerful earthquake, literally a jailhouse rock, opens up the doors. And the jailer says, I'm going to kill myself because all of the prisoners have escaped. And Paul says, no, we haven't. We're all still here. And the jailer says, what kind of prisoners are you? And Paul says, Christian prisoners. So the jailer takes Paul and Silas to his home, and Paul tells the family about Jesus, and the scripture says the whole family became Christians. You see, sharing our testimony is an integral part of our gratitude, because God uses that testimony, your testimony and my testimony, to change lives in adverse times. Third, by sacrificing. The psalmist says, give an offering to show thanks to God. Give Him what you promised. The Bible says the level of our giving expresses the level of our gratitude. Thanks and giving go together. An important way to give thanks is by giving. So thanksgiving, in my estimation, is a time to step back and to review. What does my giving say about me, about who I am, about my relationship to the one who provides all the gifts? Thanksgiving is second, a time to renew our commitment to becoming a more generous, a more giving person. Does my giving reflect the blessing that we've received? And then third, Thanksgiving is a time to raise our giving, if you will, our tithes and our offerings, and stretch our faith a little bit till it becomes sacrificial, the scripture says. Do we really believe that God will provide? Moses writes in Deuteronomy 16, celebrate the harvest festival to honor the Lord by bringing Him a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings that He has given to you. So 350 years ago, the pilgrims paused, set aside an entire day to give thanks to God for His provision. And they called it a day of thanksgiving. President Washington made it a national holiday just to give thanks. But 3,000 years before Washington, God established a Thanksgiving festival called the Feast of Weeks and called his people to come together and to express their gratitude and their thanksgiving for all of their blessings. Even in adverse times, we can bring God an offering from his blessings. And then fourth and finally, by serving. Serve the Lord with gladness, the psalmist says in Psalm 100. The author of Hebrews writes, since we have a kingdom that nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts. You see, serving God is not designed to be a chore or a duty or even an obligation. It's a privilege. It's an expression of our gratitude. It should be natural. We serve God because we love him, because we're thankful for his gifts and all he has done for us. So, thank you to all of you who use your gifts and your talents to serve one another. Week after week in this church, through this church, in this community, at your work, in your neighborhood. Thank you to those who helped with the turkey boxes and who help monthly with Feeding America. Thank you to those who serve our children and our youth here, who lead adults, who provide opportunities for us to worship on a weekly basis. Thank you for your generous giving. You're making a difference in people's lives. If God never does another thing in your or my life, the truth is, we still owe him everything, because everything you and I have is a gift from him. May today provide us with an opportunity to count our many blessings. So embrace the opportunities you have to give thanks to God today and every day as he continues to use you and me to make a difference in his world. Let's pray together. So, Father, it is your invitation, but it is our privilege to say thank you today. To pause on this day as a reminder that every day you bless us, and we are grateful and thankful. You are worthy of all our praise. So, Father, as we gather as family, as we gather as friends, as we gather even as couples, or even as Lord, we sit at the table by ourselves. We have been blessed, and we thank you. So, Father, use us to change this world, to build your kingdom, and to glorify you. And we pray this in your and your Son and your Spirit's name, and all God's people said, amen.